What is a Netflix series? A miserable little pile of episodes. But enough wheel spinning. We have to talk about Castlevania the Netflix Season 3.
Oh, good.
I'm excited.
Dan isn't with us.
We threw him into the infinite corridor.
It's a shame he's not here because almost a year ago, we did a episode called Gamer Premonitions Castlevania the Netflix Season 3. And Dan's, I believe his first premonition, the very first one, was basically nothing will happen. And that's all I was able to think of for the entire second half of this season.
I don't know why you would ever say that.
I mean, I watched the first four episodes, took a big break, and then came back to it. And I was like, and yeah, that's kind of how it feels. I was like, didn't more happen in those first episodes?
I don't know why they decided that they needed four storylines in a 10 episode thing.
Yeah, especially when they only had two good ones.
Yes. I guess we should talk about each storyline individually, because that's the only thing that makes even remotely sense.
Sure. Which one would you like to start with?
Let's start with Alucard, because it's nothing.
His is the worst.
So, Alucard is going insane after a month for some reason.
Yeah.
It's too much for him.
He meets some Japanese people who came to Europe.
Yeah.
And knew about him somehow.
Weird eyebrows.
And we're just, don't forget that they're related to the vampire that they killed who didn't bother casting a voice actress for last season.
Yeah, they didn't talk. They were complete extra.
Yes.
I don't even remember how they died. I just remember they did.
They died like, in a montage. It was a cool montage, though.
I don't remember if Sifa cuts her in half with the ice or if she gets exploded by the Morning Star or what. Or maybe Alucard kills her. I really don't remember. I like how even Alucard was like, oh. He was presumably there when she died.
Yeah.
But he's like, no, who? Whatever.
I was focusing on the whole, you know, kill my dad thing.
He says, I'll teach you how to fight vampires.
Yeah.
He trains them for 3 days?
Yes. Something like that. Something like 3 days.
And then they go, and then they're like, oh, let's fuck Alucard. This is Game of Thrones. This is an HBO series now. We need ratings.
Yeah.
We're going to fuck. Then they fuck.
They activate their weird chain anklet bracelets thing.
They activate the weird bracelet, and they're like, we're going to kill you, Alucard, because in the 3 days we've been with you, you didn't impart us all the secrets of magic in this giant castle.
Even though you're letting us fully explore the giant castle without your guidance.
Even though you're actively teaching us and took us to the Belmont hold that's full of information about vampires. And then they started talking about their empire for like one line.
It was really funny because I immediately didn't trust them as soon as they asked, can the castle still move? And then they asked it like two more times throughout the season. I was like, here we fucking go.
And then Alucard effortlessly kills them, even while fully restrained, because he can control his sword with his mind.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which I expected him to do. So there was no tension whatsoever.
Right. It was just like, why did he? If he's gonna be this upset, why didn't he just use the sword? You know, not the sharp part, and just push him away.
It took him so long. I wasn't actually expecting it because I'm like, this is really cutting deep into him. I feel like he'd do something by now if he could.
Maybe turn to mist like he did last season.
Yeah.
let's assume that is some sort of holy artifact they had and it nullified that ability.
That makes it easier, yeah.
Never mind the fact that apparently the Morning Star flail that exists to kill vampires cannot prevent demonic regeneration later on. Or in the same episode, rather. And this whole arc...
Yeah.
Is to make Alucard sad.
Yes.
So he goes into the castle and decides to be a weird recluse.
Don't forget that he dispassionately like impales them outside his door to be like his dad.
Yeah. Yeah, that was... Hey, he made sure to clothe them.
Vaguely.
I don't get what the point of this story was. Like, Because for one, like, I assume this has to go somewhere eventually.
I think their idea was, one, it's Alucard and he's popular, so they need to use him. But they can't use him yet, but they also want him to be in a certain mindset for something later.
I'm trying to think. It's going to have to be something new, because even in Symphony, he's not like, fuck humans. He's like, fuck you, Dad. Like, he shows up at the castle like, my fucking dad's doing this shit again.
Yeah. I kind of wonder what direction they're going to go with this, because this, granted, I haven't played those PS2 games that part of this is supposed to be based on, I guess. I don't know.
Just delete that notion from your memory. They're using nothing.
It seems like they're doing what Game of Thrones apparently did, where they just said, fuck it, do whatever.
I can only imagine that they did this just because it was the darkest thing they could think of doing to him. Like, it was the easiest, darkest thing. Yeah, it's really pathetic.
like a decision to, like, we want Alucard to feel like this the next time you see him.
And when we get another season on Netflix, right, guys?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we'll get at least season 4. I don't think Warren Ellis would keep going. Now people can ask me about season 4 if it wasn't at least mostly set in stone.
Hopefully.
I hope.
Oh man, this season.
Imagine if this was
anything.
The last season of something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I can think of.
Yeah.
Let's talk about yeah. Trevor and Sifa next, because the end of their thing is another thing I want to complain about in the same breath as Alucard.
Oh, here we go. This was a lot of fun. They went to that town.
Trevor and Sifa show up at a town. I don't remember the town's name.
Yeah.
Do either of you remember the town's name?
Of course I fucking don't remember the town's name. The name doesn't matter.
Oh, man, I did at the beginning of the week. I don't anymore. They stopped saying it.
Let me look it up. I have to look it up. I have to know. Lindenfeld.
There you go.
All right.
There you go. That is turning on things in my brain. It has to be true.
So they're traveling.
Yeah. You know,
we get some nice dialogue. Trevor and Sifa's dialogue with each other. One of the highlights of the season.
I like that audio recording for people in like across the board seems better in this season, because I felt like a lot of times in season 1, 2 it was like, I can't hear you.
Multiple people asked me, is the audio mixing better this season?
Most people have voices. It takes until the end of the series to get somebody with no voice, and it's really awkward.
So they're traveling, you know, they're traveling and killing all the leftover night beasts.
Yep, tricking them into thinking that they're helpless.
Then they own them. They drag one into town, Lindenfeld.
Yeah.
And they meet the judge, who doesn't have a name.
He's the judge.
He has the same design as Death from Curse of Darkness, which confused me.
Oh god, he does.
Oh, I'm glad I didn't play that.
There's Death disguises himself as a dude named Zaid. I think it's Zaid.
Huh.
And it's basically the same design. So I was a little bit fucking confused. I'm like, is this gonna be Death?
You see, I didn't let that cross my mind because they already gave up on this having any relation to that game.
This was like right at the beginning.
Yeah, but we got to see Hector a little bit, and it was like, okay, no.
The judge had one of the best lines in the season, which is, what the fuck is toilet paper?
See, I liked his line, I'm not used to asking for things. Normally, if someone doesn't do what I say, I have them beaten in the town square until they do.
That had a real feel energy to it.
We also meet Saint Germain, who is also nothing like the character in the game. Although you think he might be at the start, because it's vaguely similar.
Right. I'm still somewhat hopeful that that he will be expanded on in a way that is more like the game.
I hope, because he does have a sequence where it's like, boy, this is a bunch of bullshit that seems like it's going to mean something. I hope this wasn't just a music video dimension.
That was sick.
So then they meet the most evil looking man in human history.
Big eyes.
He looks like Rasputin.
Yes, he really does.
He does. Oh my god.
Like that's who they based him on. He has Rasputin's eyes. And he's the head of the evil cult that lives in the priory.
Yeah.
that the judge let get to this point, because he's like, yeah, freaks kept showing up and going up there. Now there's as many of them as there is my guys. I'm like, whoa, wow, you
oops.
you didn't seem to do very good about this.
And it doesn't ever actually feel like that either, because we keep seeing like four or five guys in the priory. They use the same guy repeatedly, and then we see his army is like a ton of men at arms.
Yeah, it's only at the very end when some start pouring out a little bit,
right? And it's like, where were you?
There's absolutely no stakes in this season at all.
Now, I felt like there were some stakes.
The judge goes, Trevor and Sifa, I want you to look into the priory, as Saint Germain is like, you guys, you freaks love Dracula. Let me read your books about Dracula. Also, I'm going to sneak around and get into the infinite corridor, which is, there's a portal to it in the basement. The infinite corridor being a area from Curse of Darkness that really isn't anything like the game. Once again, it's just a thing.
Is that the long hallway that made you stop playing that? Is that why it's the infinite corridor?
No, I got through the infinite corridor. I was in Dracula, the last part of Dracula's castle.
Oh, okay.
Where I went down a hallway for 45 minutes and it's like, here's a rare treasure. Go all the way back.
I'm what? Like, it's nah, rare dog. Treasure.
Nah, dog. I'm good.
But yeah, they like set up that there's a night creature that appeared and then fell into the priory. And then they're like, everyone came out all fucked up with pieces of flesh. And I guess it's gone. They don't let us go in there, though.
It's probably fine. I'll just start smoking the cigar and look in another direction.
I mean,
doing other things.
Yeah, finding out about everything that was going on in this part of the story was interesting to me, but it felt like they really just didn't act on anything they should have at all. Like, they just sat there for days after figuring out things were going wrong.
They kind of sat down and hung out a little bit. We're looking at, like, wood carvings and buildings and...
Huh, that wood carving was weird. Huh, well, it's probably nothing.
Oh, well,
they did that like five times, and then the entire town bursts into flames.
Yeah, it's like...
Let's not mess with them at all.
They can translate it. They know that it's part of alchemy. They don't do any steps to take care of it. Like, just tear off that piece of wood. Anything.
I was shocked they did not try to fuck with them.
Like, they didn't scratch it out. They didn't cut it out. They're just like, nah. You have Sifa, who is apparently a super genius who knows everything about magic. And then you have Saint Germain, who might be immortal and knows everything. Like, nah, it's fine. Nothing to worry about.
Didn't he say he was immortal in one of his first scenes, too?
He did.
He did, but that might be a lie. Because he's very tricky. He does that thing with the coins where he claps them and one coin becomes four coins because the lady is racist.
I think that one was funny because it just means that he's like tricking himself. He's like, I'm immortal. I'm just talking to himself.
Yeah, he wasn't even talking to anyone at that point. But
he was not saying that to anyone at all. I like his hourglass necklace.
Yeah, it's to make you think he's a time traveler.
I'm gonna post a picture of Zaid from the Zed. I think it's just Zed.
Yeah, it might be Zed.
Just Zed for KZ.
It's like Zed.
Oh.
So and you can be like see where I'm coming from here.
Okay, yeah, I get you. I get you.
God, the art's even closer. I was thinking of his model in the game.
Oh my god.
Turns out the evil cult.
Yeah.
We're building a portal to hell.
Yeah.
And the entire town bursts into flames, and there's a big fight scene.
Yeah. All the souls go inside the night creature that never died, that was, like, crucified in the basement.
It opens up a portal to hell, and there's a big fight scene. Everybody kills all the townspeople that are left, fight the cultists, and then Trevor and Sifa go in to fight the things coming out of hell.
I'm always shocked at how capable Sypha is in all of these fight scenes, she seems really broken.
They do seem like they go even harder every time.
She does the Destructo disc. It's very raw.
All that flying is killing me. I'm like, this is yeah, so she's, sick. She's How fucking, do you do this?
It's fucking Avatar. It's fucking Avatar, the last airbender. She's flying.
And Jermaine needs to be protected, so it's like, I thought you were a magic guy too. What happened?
Oh, he's like a shitty scholar magic guy. He teched into information, and she teched into kicking ass.
Also, Cthulhu shows up. That's neat. He's straight from
the
games.
The big Cthulhu head guys. There's a pretty cool fight scene. I don't know really how to describe it other than it's pretty cool.
Trevor Belmont uses two whips.
Whips. The Morningstar flail, which was directly made to kill evil monsters, isn't able to negate the regeneration of the hell beast, vampires?
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. That seems like the kind of thing that the ultimate weapon of the Belmont family should be able to handle. I liked that he did the item crash when you don't have an item from Rondo of Blood, which is the flaming whip.
I like that it took him more than half of his fight with this final boss creature to get the first kill. And it's like, oh no, you have to kill this thing like a few hundred more times.
Or just blow it to pieces.
Or just do a really cool one.
Whatever works, man. Whatever.
Yeah.
We also learn what I have to assume was the only point of this entire storyline, other than setting up something with Saint Germain, maybe, which is Dracula is in hell and it's possible to revive him, I guess.
Yeah, I thought that was neat that we touched on something that seemed like Castlevania. Were they actually trying to revive Dracula?
Yeah, where they're like, how do we explain to the audience how Dracula is going to be coming back in the future, potentially?
And he's just hanging out with his wife. I'm not sure why his wife went to hell, considering she was unjustly burned at the stake. And God, the demons literally say, God is no longer protecting you, person who did it.
I like some people saying that, what if that's not even her and that's just some demon like posing as her to taunt Dracula or some shit? And
that'd be
the
dumbest. Oh my god!
That's a boss in Symphony of the Night.
I know it is. If they were going to go all the way with that, I feel like that should have been there. But then they'd have to pay those voice actors, so of course they're not going
to
do that.
They would. They would in fact have to do that. I appreciated Saint Germain's line when he finally sees Dracula going, all this bullshit for fucking Dracula.
That was good. I liked Saint Germain overall. I hope there's more of him, because it would be the weakest shit if it's just like, no, you don't get to find out anything. He was just there for a little bit. He went to the music video dimension.
Look, they just use this as a direct cutoff to go follow Richter.
I assume he lost his e-girl inside the infinite corridor and just got teleported to her.
Yeah, but the locale that she was in kind of looked like some clock tower-esque Dracula's castle room.
It was like some sort of endless library of some sort.
Yeah.
So who knows? It could be anything. They could write anything.
Yeah, who knows?
Because they
could write anything they want. Now here, also during this last fight scene, Rasputin, the most evil looking man to ever live, stabs the judge.
The easiest win I've ever seen.
And the judge is like, oh, you got me. I want you to escape now, my son. You were right about everything. Go this specific place and take exactly this many steps in this direction.
Go to my you didn't win corner.
And that's part of why I thought with him looking like the guy of Death, I was like, is he just going to be Death? Is that going to be the twist? But no, of course not.
Is it going to be something cool? No.
Then we get the part that pissed me off. Because up to now, I had been totally fine with the storyline. The judge is an insane guy who kills kids because we have to be like The Witcher, except we don't understand why people like The Witcher.
Well, because it's dark. So, just like the ending of Alucard thing. There's no like deeper meaning. It's just, oh, well, he's a bad guy too.
This guy seemed competent and well-meaning, so obviously that can't actually be the case.
It seems like the intent for both of those storylines is to make characters that seem not incredibly upset and cynical, just be like
be
that
more,
going forward.
Be more. Oh, how, what a great, what, how great. That's always
supposed. It's supposed to be the contrast that you have, where it's where Sive's like, I'm having a great time, having fun, doing all these fighting all these demons and stuff, and at the end she's like, yeah, I fucking hate all this. I fucking hate killing children and shit. Nothing good. Nothing good ever fucking happens.
I was really upset that they telegraphed that earlier in the season, like a few episodes ago, when the judge told a kid where his apple tree was, using very specific directions and saying, don't tell anyone where you're going, which is the number one thing you say when you're evil.
Yeah, also, and when he said that, and then he said, I make sure children don't run around in my town.
That one, ugh.
And you know what? I could have swallowed my anger at just that. But then he has the dead children trophy room, my collection of children's shoes.
Since I, for some reason, it slipped my mind that he directed a kid to that tree, that scene seemed more fucked up in my mind, where I was like, oh god, does he touch them and then throw them into that hole? Is that what they were telegraphing there? So that's the vibe I got with the trophies.
Oh my god.
Because my brain was like, what, is he going to the hole to dig out the shoes? No, I think it's...
He just hates kids and wants them to die. I can relate, but I don't think that should have been... I don't think that should have been the ending of his storyline.
I liked a lot of the interactions between Trevor and Sypha in this section.
I did. I liked all of them.
Like throughout. They have really good, really solid chemistry throughout that.
I liked, him not wanting to look at her because he's a simp and will instantly do what she wants.
Beer is better than sex, allegedly.
And then she freezes it and he gets sad. Do we have anything else about this storyline?
Not really. That was about it.
I still think this is one of the stronger parts of the season, but it's really got like a big chip on its shoulder because they just don't act on so many things. It's insane. It's like, no.
They did have some of that season two library shit in this, but it was mostly just like, they're just not going in there. They're right. Not like going in and seeing. The lack of being proactive makes it so everything happens.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's not as bad as season two because they are other people here for them to interact with. Like, that helps a lot.
Yeah, there's multiple moving pieces in this location, because you got this, because anytime they cut back here, they didn't have to just do those characters. It could be Saint Germain, it could be the judge, it could have been the crazies. There was more to chew on. Didn't feel as stagnant.
And a lot of the intentionally funny things were in this storyline.
Sometimes I got tired of the intentionally funny stuff. Like, do we need to bring up toilet paper 5 times in this one episode?
Yes. I did like the bit where St. Germain's like, I was looking for a bathroom down here. That's why I went to the basement of the Priory. And he's like, fucking, we don't have a bathroom here. What, you think this is a palace?
Isn't there another scene where he's like, no, I was just looking for a corner to piss in because you don't have a bathroom?
I think that was
something
the one.
Like that.
There's just something about how he was looking for a bathroom that was his excuse when he first tries to go down there, and he immediately gets caught by Sala, which was Big Eye Man. That's all I can think about is his huge ass eyes.
I mean, that's obviously all they want you to think about. That's his entire character.
He's like, don't talk to me like I'm crazy. I'm very intelligent and very all together. But yeah, I don't think we have anything else for this plot line.
Let's talk about the best thing last, so now we unfortunately have to discuss Hector's storyline.
Why would you say that? Unfortunately, this is a treat.
Yeah, the same thing that he does last season again. Thank God.
Yeah, but this is so much more funny, dude.
Dan specifically said Hector would not leave the room he was in the entire season. I think he said almost exactly that.
I hate him. He could not have predicted the walkies.
Nobody could predict the walkies. But, you know, into season two, Carmilla.
What the... Carmilla?
That's how you pronounce it in Spanish. Carmilla.
She's not fucking Spanish. She's like some European vampire.
Is like, at the end of the season, she's like, oh, come help me fuck Dracula, Hector. And Hector's like, you have boobs, I guess. Okay, sure.
You're so pretty, haha.
And then it fails, and she's like, fuck you. And then backhands him, ties him in ropes, and marches him 800 miles across the mountains. And that's where we pick up. At her getting back to her castle with all of the nobody from Castlevania players.
Yeah, it's like, oh no, the entire, you know, Vampire War Council was defeated. Thankfully, we have another one next door.
Yeah, we have a mini Vampire War Council.
These ones are quirky.
Yes.
Are you trying
true.
To? Are you? By quirky, do you mean lesbians?
I mean, they're quirky lesbians. Remember that scene on the star lot on the fucking moot rooftop with them talking about schemes?
Yeah. Carmilla has her schemes. I'm glad that she's the most least used of the characters in this entire season.
That's good. She's so bad.
She sucks.
She's immediately the worst of these four.
Which is impressive because none of them are good.
All of them suck. They're all real bad. Also, once again, like the highest stakes, We're gonna take over this 800 square miles and use it to raise humans to feed on.
Yeah. They want to control territory. Empire.
They try and make it sound cool.
they really try. But it's like, I feel we've stepped down from eradicating the entire human race.
Yeah, but you see, that's not cool because it's crazy. It has been their main thing. She's tracking down Hector. Lenore, the red-haired vampire, is like, hey, he's crazy. We want to do the thing you want, where it's just like, well, whatever, we're gonna put humans in a hole. It's fine.
God, Hector sucks.
Yeah, Hector is like got no real motivations. It's terrible. It's really
he's
bad.
Like a baby.
I'm pretty sure they directly said that when she said, what do you want? And he just kept saying, what?
Well, he's what? Not a character.
It is just pathetic. It's like you grab this guy from this main game. And
I saw art of him in the game.
Cool.
He looks cool.
He's voiced by Crispin Freeman, and he's like got the motivation to go kill Dracula again, and put him in here. And he's like the most lame thing you can imagine.
He's the protagonist to Curse of Darkness. I want Isaac to kill him in this show.
Yeah. He tried one cool thing this season, where he tries to pin Lenore between the bars saying, I'll break your neck, and then the most hilarious beatdown ensues, where it's like, oh yeah, this is a vampire.
Yeah, why did he think that would work?
I don't know!
I mean, Isaac successfully killed vampires before, so...
That's because Isaac's a fucking badass and is the only developed character on that end, in the Curse of Darkness end.
I think the development of this simp has been incredible.
He's so pathetic.
Yes, it's delicious how bad it is.
I mean, like that first scene that KZ just mentioned where he actually tries to fight ass against her gave me some hope for this season, him doing something, realizing, oh, I can't just blindly trust these people.
Yeah, and I'm yet thinking he like maybe he'll start like formulating some sort of counter plan, you know?
Yeah, like you'd expect from a character like this.
Yeah, like, see how he can get his way out of this situation, because, you know, he has the edge. They want him to forge a bunch of, like, demons and stuff, and they will always be under his command, so they need to find a way around that, and...
I like how it's just something out of the ether. It isn't a cool idea or anything, or something clever.
It's
or
a cock
Lenore.
Ring.
Or Lenore really, you know, cleverly manipulating him to do what she wants, even though he thinks he's doing what he wants. No, it's just magic.
Yeah, it's just a magic just ring like, that appears.
That she conveniently had made, that she figured out to make.
Off screen.
But
yeah.
the fact that she got it to him to do it so easily. To literally say, yes, yes, you are my mommy.
It feels like... And we're skipping around, but we really aren't. This whole side of the season is just Hector, make demons for us. Fuck you, no. Okay, here's this pretty red-haired lady.
Okay.
Yeah, it's basically this build up throughout the season of he arrives, he's thrown into a cell. Lenore comes in as the nice one to smooth things over and get him to cooperate.
He says, fuck you, I know what you're doing, this won't work on me. 3 days later, he's like, okay, time for my 4 p.m. dick flattening, Lenore.
Yeah, it took a few days, she gave him shoes.
The fact that
she took him out for a walk!
That part was funny. Very useful screen cap.
Walkies.
Yeah, you'd think after doing the whole being taken out for a walk and being disgraced that much that maybe he would grow a spine, but he just doesn't.
No.
I guess just... What is his environment supposed to have been? Did he just grow up with Dracula? Like, what the fuck even happened over there? Was he like some normal dude?
They touched on that briefly in the last season, where they showed him as a young kid, like, making a dead dog into a monster play with.
He made undead pets, then he killed both his parents, and then we don't know anything between then and Dracula picking him up.
Yeah. It's supposed to be something where, like, he's an emotion, developmentally, he's like a baby, in a way.
He is a child in a man's body.
Yeah, it's that kind of situation where it's like any normal fucking adult would not be this fucking stupid.
The line about the vampires figure that they could just hire mercenaries. They don't even need Hector.
They're like, you can just do that?
Oh, really?
You can just pay them? I guess that was okay in the way that it's like, of course they would try to come up with a backup plan, because they don't know if this Hector thing is going to even work out. I started gross laughing at the end of the season where she's like, all right, these rings, we now have them under control. And he tries to say something, she's like, no, the real people are talking. I'm like, oh my god, this is so bad. He sucks so much.
He sucks so bad. I'm honestly hoping, like, we'll talk about it in a second, but Isaac's entire story is, fuck Hector, I'm coming to kill that rat bastard for betraying Dracula.
The most epic final battle of all time.
Isaac gets to be a real character. It's weird.
The only reason that I'll watch season 4 is to see Isaac go, no, I am the manager to these vampires.
Was there anything about this specific plotline anyone else wanted to talk about before moving on to the fourth?
Was Hector?
God, it's nothing.
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah, it
have
was
anything.
Just building up. It's building up that conflict.
It's there for people who want CBT.
It's one more sex scene they get to have.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna say it, but yeah,
it's bizarre. I don't know.
I will really enjoy it if we get season 4 and Isaac gets to Hector and he's just like, fucking really, dude? You're not even worth killing. Like, fuck off, bye.
That would be so great if he just does that.
Yeah.
Hector just gets killed by something else random.
Or because in Curse of Darkness, this would be the most pathetic possibility, so I'm going to voice it now in case I'm right. in Curse of Darkness, Hector wants revenge on Isaac for killing his wife. What if Isaac kills Lenore and all those vampires, and Hector's just like, no, I gotta get revenge for my e-girl.
I want that to happen. Oh, no. I want him to suddenly somehow become a badass.
No, he won't be a badass. He'll be pathetic.
God, feel that's poisonous.
There's so much great potential here.
They could do it too. I could really see him doing it.
Yeah, the only thing I was like hoping in the back of my mind of the future was something like, maybe Lenore at some point does a turn and tries to do her own thing, just because of clearly her sisters don't think much of her. Like, where she's like, yeah, they think I'm the weak one.
I could see that happening, and she just lied about those rings.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's like the only angle they could go with it.
Yeah, that I was thinking that maybe that could come up at some point would be interesting, because they seem pretty stacked at this point against whatever they're going to be fighting. Isaac.
Do they?
Not No, Isaac is going to kick their fucking ass.
Yeah, I'm like, they don't seem... I have no idea of what their combat potential is. They're worried about the random town folks killing them. Carmilla's not that much impressive.
I'm just thinking, they got a dude who can generate an army of demons, or night creatures, and it's four vampires.
And they didn't even
Isaac
figure out a way
a
to get
a little bit
corpses.
Of a lead on them.
Yeah, they didn't even figure out a good way to get Hector corpses to make night monsters.
Oh, yeah, that's... That's...
This whole season feels like the first third of an actual season.
Yeah. Maybe we could get more of it if we didn't have the a la carte part.
I could be really generous, and I honestly think the Hector and a la carte parts should not have been in this.
Yeah, they really shouldn't have. We could have just had Hector see him get to that place with the other vampires and not talk about it again. It could have been
then,
entirely
and then
another
we get
season.
More Isaac because he's cool.
Yeah, Isaac's actually good.
So with that... Unless anybody has anything else to say about the simp arc.
Very good.
We should talk about Isaac, who is a badass.
So the Isaac part, which is his epic journey to fuck shit up.
To get revenge on Hector, who he presumably does not know is the most pathetic man alive.
He also wants revenge on Carmilla and other vampires.
That's true.
So,
yeah.
I don't think he even brings up Hector once.
I think he does at the start because he's like, magic mirror, show me Hector.
Oh yeah.
And then when he's talking to the owner of the ship, he specifically talks about the dude who betrayed him.
But we start out with Hector, not Hector, Isaac in the desert. He has all his buddies with him. He comes into a town. Basically, he goes into a shop and meets a crazy man who can't see. Who gives him a magic mirror that can show him anything as long as he calls it sir.
Yeah. He's like, this will help me, right? You'll help me out later, right?
it's another Castlevania save point. I forget which one. I forget which game has the mirrors. Or maybe it's the teleporter. I think it's the teleporter from Symphony of the Night.
No, it's not from Symphony because that has the statue men. It might be
he says that the bigger versions are called like a transition mirror and you can move things between them.
Yeah, they had that in the last season with Dracula. That's how he got thrown into where he was at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, where he gets thrown into the desert.
But then he talks to the crazy shopkeep, finds out where Hector is from the mirror. Shopkeep tells a joke and is like, here, take the mirror. I don't need it. You've had a hard life. I'll give you a gift because it seems like you never got one before. Then Hector murders the entire town except for that guy? It's unclear.
Like most of that town just starts accosting him.
I think it looked like it was only like armed guards.
Yeah, the armed guards attacked him, and then he killed them, but didn't he order the whole town killed or something?
I think he did.
Yeah, because at that point, this is the point where he just doesn't give a shit at all. He's like, I need more.
Don't eat their limbs.
I need those.
And he's going... and this is a problem this season has, because it's not... It seems like 3 or 4 days, but it's really fucking unclear how long this season lasts, because it feels like Isaac goes a hell of a long way in 4 days.
Yeah, it's not clear if his storytelling is in sync with the others or not, because he doesn't really interact with the other groups in this.
Yeah, him and Hector, like, I feel like they might be on a different time scale.
Don't they have to be in sync? Because they, like, show his, they show the mirror and they show where Hector is, and it kind of matches up with...
Yeah, they can be, but like, I'm
that's
just
a very
wondering
start,
if...
though.
Mm.
I'm wondering if Hector, Isaac, and a la carte are all on one time frame and Trevor and Sifa are on another, because them being in that town for multiple weeks makes no sense.
It could be that the boat trip is just incredibly short, or we get to...
Isaac, I have to throw you through this mirror so you'll be safe. You're 2 days away.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he still needs to go get the mirror at the end of this season to get all the way back, because we don't know, like, how far that ocean got him.
And, you know, it took him a bit to get to this town. too, because they do establish it's been a month since season two.
Yeah.
So it took him a month of traveling to get to this town.
But he needs a ship.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes to the port, meets a wise, mysterious ship captain whose name is the captain.
I was like, who goes unnamed?
Yeah. I
feel like Warren Ellis has a little bit of a problem naming characters in this season, considering we also have the judge.
Me and Dan thought he might have been Grant, but that wasn't the case.
No, they mentioned Grant.
They mentioned a crazy person who was a boat.
They make fun of him multiple times.
Yeah, and then he doesn't show up in the season.
Trevor going that. Yes, yeah, because it's a joke.
He was off screen.
Warren Ellis specifically wrote him out of the series because he's like, it's fucking stupid. A pirate is in the middle of this landlocked country. He's gone.
God damn it.
That's so dumb.
So those lines are just him mocking people who are mad Grant isn't there.
Great. I love it.
Hey, who needs that when you have the judge, Bob?
Yes, the judge. What a great character. He kills children.
He might have also sexually touched children before throwing them into holes.
I did not get the sexual part at all. I think he just liked killing children.
Now that you said that he directed a kid to the apple tree, now I know that that is not it. But when I first watched that, having missed that line, I was like,
And like, speaking from experience, Warren Ellis' style is very much, that old bastard loves killing kids. It's not...
I don't think I've seen anything else done.
Hazy, you need to find a way to read Transmetropolitan. I think you would get a kick out of it.
No, okay.
Because it's about a journalist. It's the future. He has a machine that makes him whatever he wants. And the first thing he does is hack it so it can make him drugs.
Great.
Wonderful. So Isaac has this, like a 10-15 minute long scene on the boat talking to this this captain about his path, great, his story, what he's doing.
I love the captain's parable that he just made up.
Yeah, he's like, don't live out someone else's story.
If you don't know your own story, you're a character in someone else's.
Yeah.
I hope you like it. I made it up.
He's really good at, like, directing him without getting killed by him.
Yeah, because it's so weird that, like, everybody else, everything's terrible. Fuck you. Everybody's out to get you. The world is shit. And Isaacs is a little bit more like, some people are nice to him and treat him respectfully. So he starts to come around a little bit.
I liked that contrast a lot. Because you feel like it'd be the reverse, where it's like optimistic good guy characters, or who you would think are the protagonists. Like, they're gonna be sad and cynical now after the fucked up things happened. Isaac, not that at all. Instead, it's him turning around ever so slightly.
I do think that's a good trajectory. I wish we had gotten more of it instead of the two pointless arcs that are there for sex scenes.
God, what was the pointless arcs of that?
Hey, I enjoyed the scene where we saw the Japanese vampire beat up some Bushido man.
Japanese vampire sucked so bad.
Yeah, she's pretty boring. She seems like a monster of the week enemy in any anime.
She seems like a filler character from a Castlevania anime.
She seems like a filler villain from an episode of anime you skipped.
She would just be in a random room in Symphony of the Night.
She was in a random room in the last season and did not talk.
Yes. So them trying to be like, oh yeah, Cthulhu here, he had a big deep backstory, you gotta worry about him.
And it's like world building. They bring these characters who are connected to this character who did not speak that you forgot about from last season. It built some shit up.
I'm so upset.
Kind of expecting, and I don't know why, because I should have given up by the time I even thought of it. But I was really expecting, like, Alucard to maybe go with those two vampire hunters to Japan, and he has some sort of adventure, and that's when he first adopts the Ginya Arikado persona that he uses in the Soma Cruise games.
See, now you're making me sad. Now you're making me sad.
That's literally what I thought when they first showed up. I was like, oh man, maybe he's going to do that. No, nothing. Literally.
What if they fuck him?
Maybe these twins are like the descendants or like the ancestors of Mina Hakuba, who is Soma Cruz's girlfriend. Instead, it was just nothing.
No, it contributed to making him very more like his dad and angry and sad, and he went in the castle. He no longer is going to talk to dolls and say that fucking Trevor's going to put his little penis in a dead dog.
Did they show like Alucard watching his mom get burned in season 2?
I don't remember.
Did they do the don't hold, cuz I'm just imagining the complete hackishness of they revive Dracula and his wife, she gets burned again so Alucard can watch and hear the speech from Symphony of the Night.
I don't think she's ever coming back, and if she does, it's going to be some weird psychedelic shit where it's like, oh no, she turns into slime or some evil ghoulish thing you have to kill.
It'll probably be something dumb, even though in Symphony of the Night it's just a succubus, so it makes complete fucking sense. So,
but yeah, Isaac, he was on that boat.
Get off the boat after that good talk. The boat immediately leaves because they know the town is going to try to kill them.
That dude's so smart. I loved him.
Why didn't he even drop him off in town? That's what killed me. It's like, anywhere else, dude. Clearly, he's not going to
laugh. He probably knew what was going to happen. He's like, that's going to be funny.
Yes. He seems like, let me see if he puts my advice into practice. And then you have one of my favorite scenes in this season, which Isaac's like, hey, can I just need to pass through the town and go north. They're like, no, you got your fucking monsters. I'm not going to let you do that bullshit here. He's like, come on, I'm being nice. Just let me.
I'm only going to be nice once.
Yep. And then
like, no, like, we're suicidally stupid.
And he said that fucking when the things happen that when these things happen, people are going to remember fucking you guys are just so fucking rude.
That did make me laugh.
I fucking lost it.
I may be reviving people from the from hell and putting them in demonic bodies, but at least I'm not rude.
It's insane. It's like, you can't talk your way out of this, dude. They literally aren't going to let you in their country because you have a horde of demons.
I just love that.
He's just like, try to sneak them in any way instead of like parading them through town. It's insane.
He's daring them, Bob. Stay in your own lane. This is the intelligence test on whether or not you get to live. Are you smart enough to stay in your own lane?
He's just like, don't even try, ham sandwich. Just fucking leave me alone. You're going to die. What made them think they had a chance?
So he kills the town again.
Again, we do the same scene again.
He heads north. He finds a empty town with a creepy old woman.
Yep.
This is after several episodes not seeing him, I feel.
Yeah, several because they're like, oh fuck, we can't just have two sex scenes and that Trevor fight. We have to have another action set scene.
Yeah.
So he finds out
two storylines for action and two storylines for not action. Two storylines for sex.
A character with no name tells him about another character with no name.
I want to believe one of them had a name.
Bob, what's the problem?
Oh, I think the woman might have a name. I think her name might be Miranda. I think that touches my brain.
Yeah, she did have a name because they went into a little bit of stuff with her.
But she is like a sorcerer came and took over everybody's minds and is making them build a city.
She has powers, but she was old. She was too old to be able to like help anyone but herself. Does like cool anime pose to show that she's epic and strong.
It is weird. You almost expect the JoJo's thing tech behind her.
Yeah, I was going to say she does a JoJo's like aura pose and then sits back down because she got tired.
But him going to defeat that sorcerer gives us the second big I clapped moment. You know, the first being the fire whips.
Yes, his boss
fight. Which is the sorcerer is building a town with all these bewitched people. Isaac shows up and starts fucking things up. the wizard goes, fuck it, I'm gonna turn all the people into Legion, the Castlevania boss that is just all the bodies that make a big sphere.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very cool.
I did like that it wasn't just, it's always a ball, like, they shot some out. They're like, that sequence of him running up the
tower. It was
tower,
cool. It was a very cool scene.
They're coming out of the windows and shit.
Yeah, I think it was more interesting than anything we saw in the rest of the season.
Yeah, it was the most, like, active, because it wasn't fighting in an arena or anything, like the big last fight in Lindenfeld or whatever that place was. This was, he had a goal that he had to reach before he was either killed or taken over.
But the sorcerer is the guy who doesn't have a voice actor, and it's really
he
obvious.
He doesn't have a voice actor. He doesn't have a name. He doesn't have a backstory. He doesn't have anything. He's there so Isaac can...
He's a side quest.
Yeah, it's like, this could have been really cool. It's still pretty cool, but you could have actually had time,
you
not
could've.
Had those other stories, and made this amazing.
I wish they just had a voice actor who could, like, ham it up a little bit.
Yeah, anything's better than looking at Isaac, like, 2 feet from him and not saying a word as you try and mind dominate him.
Him not saying anything makes him so nothing.
I wish they had something like that where he could project his voice and taunt him as he's fighting his way up. Feel like something like that, I think, would have made that a bit better.
Boy, this magician sucks.
what makes you say that?
Not just like what we just discussed, obviously that, but it's like, my magic didn't work on that one lady. This dude is clearly a magician too. Oh, good. My magic worked. 1 second later, oh, fuck, I got stabbed.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget that he had the shield rod in his room, so you can clap. It was right next to the other shield.
Oh, cool.
This dude's... he could have been anything. He doesn't have a name, a voice, a goal. He has a vague goal of I want to build a castle.
Yeah, he wants to build his crazy city, which could be really cool.
And instead, he is a side quest that will give him a lot of bodies
and the mirror that lets him transport a bunch of dudes.
Yeah, it legitimately feels like Isaac walked into a room. The Igavania boss door came down, and then the sorcerer just appeared. And you never hear anything about this guy before, you never hear anything about him after.
Yes, this was the most video game part of the entire season. Meets random woman tells about, if you go to this town, you can go do this. There were two little boss fights in it. A quick time event where he had to mash the button to make sure his dagger could cut his mind control crown.
Just wait, in season 4, we're going to get some side characters from Eastern Asia that were previously mind dominated by him, and now they want to make out with Isaac, I think.
And then he just kills them. Like, they don't even have a chance. He's like, no, not interested.
Isaac is the only reason I'm going to come back for season 4.
Yeah, he's the only glimmer of hope for this series.
I assume at least the three, not Alucard. He's fucking off in misery zone. Oh, we totally skipped what I thought was the most interesting part of the season, which I wish we had gotten more of. Isaac talking to his monster.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, when he talked to the fucking bug.
He's like, because his soul forging literally brings a soul out of hell and puts it in one of the corpses to make a monster.
Yeah, that's why I thought it was kind of reasonable that Dracula's wife would be in hell, because, I mean, that dude was sent to hell even though he was just some dude from Athens who was a philosopher.
Yeah.
He implies that he went to hell for lying?
Yeah, I guess that there was selling out his friends, but then... So...
Because God takes betrayal seriously.
Yep.
But again with Dracula's wife, I feel like they explicitly made a point that God is no longer protecting the people who burned her.
Yeah. Don't.
So God is still like, no, fuck you. You cheated on a math test once. Fuck you. It's fire pits for you.
feel like just anyone who dies goes to hell automatically in this.
Although they might be using the Dante's Inferno shit, where she's in the lair for scientists where they aren't actually tortured.
Okay.
No, that's a thing. That's a thing in Dante's Inferno, where if you didn't believe in God, but you didn't do anything wrong, you just didn't believe in God, you get like a totally normal place, and your only punishment is that you're not blessed by the touch of God. So they could be going for that.
That's possible.
Maybe we'll find out if Isaac interviews his demons some more, which was pretty really cool.
I do like that he just, you know, has characters that influence him and he gets to learn from.
He gets to develop as a character.
Yeah, it's weird.
That isn't just him going, I guess the world really is bullshit and I shouldn't trust anybody.
Well, that's development.
I hope that in season 4, not Alucard, like I said, he's fucking off. Fuck him. I assume the other three storylines are going to converge.
Yeah.
Because the others feel like they can. Whereas Alucard's sitting in his house still.
Trevor and Sypha have to be in the part of the wherever, Eastern Europe, where the stupid vampire plan is going to happen.
In the 800 mile long like range that a thing is going to happen in.
Isaac's going to show up there with his monsters.
Heck, he has to teleport Ymir right now. Like, they could start the next season with him teleporting straight to their castle, I would think. But they won't.
Maybe they will. That'd be really funny.
Yeah.
If, like, the first episode is him teleporting in, ruining them, killing Lenore.
In the first half of the season.
That would be really good. Like, we just destroy all of that.
That would be the worst, though, because it would entirely prove Dan right. His fucking premonition was just the whole season will be nothing, and then the actual Curse of Darkness will be season 4.
Well, Curse of Darkness didn't have these Kino vampires in it.
That's why they'll all die in the first 15 minutes of season 4.
Yeah, and then the rest of it's about Isaac bringing Dracula back.
It'll be Hector being like, no, my e-girl, and going to try and kill Isaac.
Can you imagine a situation where within one or two episodes the entire vampire council is defeated and somehow that season ends with a Dracula fight?
That would be the most they've ever gotten done in a season.
Yeah.
I hope.
Will Isaac's sister show up and just look like Lenore?
That's a thing in Curse of Darkness, KZ. Isaac's sister is the love interest for Hector and looks exactly like his dead wife.
Which is not explained at all.
Yes.
Oh. Well, at this point, I feel like we do that part where you review it, give it a score.
We want to give a score 1 out of 1 to 10?
Yeah, 1 to 10. We're not like fucking putting in like a doc or anything, but you know. Close it out like we did fucking the Star Wars one. Yes, Field can start.
This was bad. Like, there was stuff in this I liked, but there was just so little of it. There was so much spinning of the wheels. I really feel like the entire Alucard side was not only not interesting, it was pointless except for misery porn and to have a sex scene, because they could feel like HBO.
Why are you afraid of sex?
The Hector side was a lot funnier. But... At least it feels like it's going to go into something perceivable.
Yeah.
So it was a little bit better. And Trevor and Sypha was mostly fine, except for how passive they are and the ending, which is once again just, the world's out to fuck you, man. Fuck everything. And then the Isaac part was really good, except for the final boss with no voice or name or story.
He had a story.
He might as well appeared from the sky and said, I represent the inevitability of death.
Oh, that would have been raw.
It would have been.
I'm giving this a 5 out of 10.
All right.
I didn't hate it, but it really made nothing. I watched 5 episodes at once. If I had not known we were doing this, I would not have watched the other 5. And it wouldn't have been like, this is bad, I won't continue. It just would have been disinterest. It would have been, no, I don't feel like it right now, and I would have forgotten.
All right, Bob?
Sure.
What we got? What we got going on?
I had a similar feeling to the feel where there's just so little that I actually like in here. It's weird. Like, there are patches where I like it. I like it more than season two. I don't like it more than season one.
Yeah.
For sure. Just because there are characters interacting with other characters, which I feel like two didn't have much of, other than the war console, which I hated everyone on.
Oh, but what about Godbrand?
Godbrand was great.
Oh, no, he wasn't. He was just a gracious stereotype.
Yes, he was. He was incredible. I was so sad when he died.
Yeah, it's still just, like, what they do with Alucard is terrible. I also watched, like, four episodes at once with Dan, and I had absolutely no problem with just not watching this again for, like, a month. Like, I would not, I wouldn't have gone back to it for a long while until I found out we were going to do this. And I was like, okay, I'll binge those. But it's not unwatchable or anything. If you liked last season, you'll probably be fine with this. So I'm going to leave it at a 5.2.
Well, I watched the first two seasons in like one go, like last year or whenever it came out. And I enjoyed those. Like, I didn't have too many problems with season two, except for the whole they didn't move at all. The main characters didn't really go anywhere or interact with anyone. But season three, there's, you know, I think they made some decent strides in that, where they were kind of in that hub town for a while and they interacted with different people. I think the overall chemistry between Trevor and Sypha was really strong. I liked a lot of the new characters that they introduced. I'm overall fairly positive about the season as a whole. I like most of the characters, and I'm interested in where things are going. It's definitely slow, but I tend to like shows like this and like the slow nature of it. It didn't really bother me at all. I do think the Alucard stuff was pretty unnecessary. It just felt like they put him in as an obligation because he's the son of Dracula. And obviously people like that character, and I feel like they could have just cut him out entirely and just said he's different now if they want him to act differently in the future, and approach that when they needed to. They did not need to spend this season having a side plot of how he got fucked into depression. But yeah, overall I enjoyed it because I also enjoyed season two, and I'm excited for a potential next season to see where the upcoming vampire demon war thing is going.
It'll all be resolved in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, when it's resolved in the first 10 minutes, I'll give it like an 8. That's kind of where I'm sitting at it. I would give it higher, but the stuff like the Alucard stuff, I did feel like whenever it showed up, it dragged. Where I was like, this is the only one I don't necessarily want to watch. Where every time they shifted, I'm like, okay, I can see what's going on here.
I like that we all brought up the Alucard part. It's a character that they felt they had to use. It's like, I don't think anybody wanted to see this, though.
Yeah, it just became this thing of like, it's Dracula's son. And, you know, he had some... It's so sad that his best scene is when he's talking to the fucking... To his friends.
In the first 2 minutes of the season.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the first line. It's just him mocking both of them. Like, this is the stuff that made me like him a lot, that and the action scenes he was in. And unfortunately, he didn't get that past that. And it's really unfortunate that they didn't.
I kind
of wish he just went with them, or they didn't use him at all.
It would have been better if it was literally cutbacks to him still going insane in his castle.
Just oh my god, that would have been so great if he was just a one-note comedy bit the entire season.
Yeah, that's what I thought was almost what I expected when we first got to him.
I'm genuinely wondering if we're like just going to not see him at all in season four, and it's just so he can come out of his castle and like right outside the door are Richter and Maria, and he's like, it's been how fucking long? What? Shut up.
I've seen so many people going, you see, they're setting this up so at the end of the next season, they can either end it with it or tease that he'll be the villain for season 5. Because he's just all jaded and angry now. Because humans are fucked up. Dad was right.
But he knows two humans that aren't.
Yeah, I know. It seemed psychotic when I read it. It'd be epic, though.
Yeah, that's really dumb. That's what I was afraid they were going to do.
And then Dracula appears as a force ghost and is like, cut it out, son.
Okay. Now you're getting... But hey, they will tweet about it later on the Netflix account that that's not what really happened.
No,
they didn't actually fuck.
What? Is this something that happened?
Oh, no, he's
Star Wars.
Talking about Star Wars.
No, I'm talking about Star Wars. You're talking about Star Wars. I just think he's going to be sad, jaded, and stupid the next time he shows up, because that's clearly what they wanted to do to him.
I really hope that it's just like we have to justify why he isn't involved in any of this other shit that he's not involved in.
You'd think at some point Trevor and Sifa would just go back to the castle and check on him, but I guess no,
they're having their fuck adventure.
It's a pretty good fuck adventure. They're having a good time. Well, they were until that happened at the end.
You mean that thing they could have easily prevented? Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah. Man, at the start, they were having a good time.
Sifa was probably having a good time when she used the Destructo disc.
Yeah, she was talking about it. She's like, this shit's fun. And at the end, she's like, oh, man.
Oh, kids got murdered. That part's sad.
It is. Don't be afraid of sadness, Phil. It's part of life.
You know what? We're not done with the podcast yet. I guess I'll bump mine up to a 6 just because it was like a 5 and below is why I would rate season 2. And it is a step above that. Like, I like Jermaine and stuff.
They had a good few characters that when they were on screen and they just started talking, they were just kind of like really chewing the scenery in a way that I was like, yeah, please keep going. I feel like the ship captain was the same way, where I'm like, yeah, I'm vibing with this a lot. Just keep going.
Yeah, there are enough hints of a good show in here. It just... Yeah, the last couple episodes really upset me.
How do we end this?
We'll just end it with this thing I looked up while we were talking.
Sure.
Yes, Alucard killed that Japanese vampire, and she was so irrelevant he forgot.
That makes it Kino. He's raising the next generation who fuck him, and then he kills them.
Very cool.